Hey, do you like Film Sack? Well, we know you do. Why don't you head on over to patreon.com/frogpants and show some love today? That's patreon.com/frogpants. That's
fine. If you insist on counting down, go ahead.
Here goes.
It all started on the day that I died. If there had been an obituary, it would have described the unremarkable life of an unremarkable woman. Survived by no one. But there was no obituary, because the day that I died was also the day I started to live.
He's taking a dump. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 366 for January 20th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian Catwoman Has Haircut Powers Dunaway.
Edward Scissor, don't. Oh, hi, meow. Midnight Talent Agency, how may I claw your eyes out today? Purr. I don't do a good purr. Oh, my. Yes, Miss Berry would love to be in your movie, meow, meow. What's that? What are her qualifications, meow, meow? Well, she has tens of minutes of experience with cats. Meow, I would even go so far as to say she's sort of a catspert, meow. Why, I saw her just this morning looking at cat pics on the internet, meow. It's Catter Day, after all, meow, meow. Excellent. I'll let her know. And yes, we do accept payment in the form of cans of tuna. Purr. What's that? Sharon Stone is also cast? Well, then we are going to need some extra cans of tuna and a scratching post in Miss Berry's dressing room. But no need for a shower in her trailer. She's going to mouth bathe herself after eating 8 cans of tuna on her bed. So sexy, meow, meow. All right. I got to go lick my butt for 2 hours. Talk to you later, meow.
Oh, the 8 cans of tuna. That was rough. That was rough. We'll get into that. It's one of my chief problems with the movie overall is cat-like behavior. But we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Also with us, Randy, it's always time to accessorize Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Hold on just a second here. Yeah. Mr. Emmerich, I need to talk to you. I've been thinking that we need to make something for women. We need to have a hero who's a woman. Yeah, okay, just hear me out. Okay, so we start with a female villain that we've already got, but we make her into a hero. Only no one over here in concept knows anything about women. So what's something women hate? Oh, I've got it. Makeup. Women hate makeup, right? Okay, so let's have makeup be the bad guy. Okay, you know what? You know what's really girly? Like, really girly? Cats. Cats are so girly. Okay. All right. So hold on. I'm just writing this down. So the hero becomes a cat and has to put a stop to evil cosmetics. Oh, hey, could we work in some jewelry somehow? I think women like jewelry. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
And all of them have at least one gay buddy. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Gotta have
cat sex in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One gay buddy each. Finally, Brian, they told him to flush the pipes, so he flushed the pipes a bit.
I flushed the pipes, so these pipes are clean. Sorry, I had to finish that out. So you all think that Catwoman the movie is based on Catwoman the DC comic book heroine, right? No, it's based on a Dr. Seuss children's book called The Cat in the Torn Leather Outfit. Let me read a little bit of this to you.
Okay.
Patience's self-esteem was flat, treated like a doormat, fired by an aristocrat who was getting fat by selling poisonous mat. Patience fell in a vat, out of a pipe she was shat, and drowned like a rat. Rescued by many a cat, until on that ledge she sat, wielded a whip like a bat, dated Benjamin Bratt, skilled in super combat, going tit for tat. And speaking of that, why the hell is she so goddamn good at basketball?
Yeah. Why did this turn into a Paula Abdul video, right in the middle of it?
Right, with Scat Cat.
Weird. Gosh, it really did, didn't it? That was totally Paula Abdul in the middle. Mm. Ah, this movie. Gosh dang it. Freaking, we had to do it.
sits.
We had to do it.
We had to do it. So we've been moving Catwoman for so long that we...
Randy, one last time.
Yeah, say it.
Well, I moved Catwoman.
Yeah.
And we had to, like, it was because it kept, it would pop onto Netflix, and then we didn't really want to watch it. And so, like, 8 weeks later, it would leave. And we're like, okay, all right, some other time, maybe.
Yeah.
And so this time we lined up our little stars and we watched this wonderful movie.
The problem is back when you said things like this, whoops. No, that's from the movie. Shit.
I said that too.
Yeah. Back when you said this.
I moved Catwoman.
It just meant that it went to this column of like, okay, well, if this shows up again, we'll shift it over. And I honestly kind of thought we might never get to it. It was one of those ones that just always got pushed, always got needled out, and no big deal.
There are other movies that fit that description, like Harlem Nights has come and gone.
Oh, yeah.
And it's only on Netflix for a little while, and our list goes out farther than some of these movies stick around for.
Sure. Sometimes we make exceptions and move them in, but I'm going to say, and I don't want to speak for everybody here, but I think this was totally worth it. And I don't mean that it's good. I mean that this is one of the more worthy FilmSack movies. Because there's a lot to talk about what went wrong and why it went this way.
Yeah.
This is an actress, Halle Berry, who is much respected for previous work, who had won an Oscar and a Razzie for this.
Right. Previous work and work since. I mean, this is like a blemish on a fairly decent record. I mean, you know, we take out stuff like Juana Man and...
I say this is an experiment in Halle Berry's career. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was a potential franchise. Everybody wants one of those. Mm-hmm. And it turned out not to be one of those. And there's a lot of weird stuff in the background that we don't have to get in today. Like, I went down this huge rabbit hole. Apparently, the whole thing, they never say it once on screen, but the whole deal is supposed to be set in Salt Lake City, not Gotham.
Right,
which is crazy, and so
it's totally crazy.
It's the weirdest thing. But then again, I went back and looked, and there are landmarks that are not dissimilar to my home city. So like, I think maybe they were right, but they won't admit it. Like, there's this weird controversy about that. But the movie itself, like straight up Catwoman, the fact that they said, you know what, her name isn't Selene. She isn't in Gotham. She's not the DC deal. There is no Batman. There's no other reference to the DC universe at all.
Right.
This
is more like Egyptian cat derivative.
Yeah.
Solo story.
I don't know. The bullwhip kind of ties them together.
Yeah.
But there's not much else besides that. I mean,
right. That's just that BSDM. What is it called? What's it called when they do the whole leather dress up thing? That's just part of that, right?
Is it?
Right.
I mean, if
the costume name and utility tool are all the same, I mean, it's the same. Like, I get what you're saying, that they didn't say she was in Gotham. And by
based on Catwoman of the DC.
Yeah, very loosely. Like, very loosely.
Patience Phillips is not, like, it's not even like a multiple alternate, people.
Yeah.
Right, multiple people who are all different Robins for Batman. Mm-hmm. And there was never a Patience Phillips in the comics. To my knowledge, I did a little searching around, and there was never, like, Patience Phillips was a character name created specifically for this movie. It's almost like they said, well, if we really screw up on this, we could always just kind of wad it up and throw it in the trash.
Yeah,
have no effect on DC lore.
No, that's totally true. Even, I mean, Bob Kane's credited in the credits as, you know, creator of the characters, and I'm like, oh, dude, freaking barely. You can barely call this a Catwoman movie. Now, she's a woman. She's dressed like a cat, but her origin story.
Woman,
you know,
check.
Where
cat,
they
check.
Where they derive their powers as this history of ancient women who got this Egyptian cat, or, you know, a cat decided to breathe on them, and that was like their moment to become the cat lady, and referred to as cat women, which cracked me up later in the movie. That lady says, "Oh, there's many cat women of cat." I'm like, "Oh my lord!" So they took it in a whole new place that has nothing to do with any of its origin stuff, and that's dangerous. I'm not saying you can't do it. I just think it's freaking dangerous.
You shouldn't do it.
Yeah, like you.
But isn't this what they kind of did with the whole Spider-Man Spider-Verse, where there's a whole everybody was a Spider-Man?
Well, in the comics, sure. But
And we got that movie coming out this year too.
Yeah,
later this year,
Miles Morales.
Movie.
Sure, but the thing is, that's, you can get away with it in comics and animation. I don't think you can do it in live action. Now, that being said, look, there's plenty of stuff in the Marvel MCU right now that is not comic consistent or character consistent from the comics or any of that. That's true, but they're minor. Like, the essence is there. She's not. She's nothing like Celine. This is like no, not
and
it.
And it's, you know, there's a little bit of a, you could almost say that the Hulk TV show where they changed Bruce Banner to David Banner.
David Banner, right.
It was kind of along those lines where, I mean, it was for different reasons, obviously.
but the backstory and the inception story and the results were pretty much in line.
Like, no, results, yes. But no, I mean, Bruce Banner pushed Rick Jones. I almost said Rick James. Rick Jones out of danger. Like, you know, this kid's right out there joyriding in the gamma.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But the like the inception of the Hulk in the TV show is the same source of power.
Right.
A
science thing gone wrong and flooded.
Catwoman makes a decision to tell a completely different inception story.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Right. Yeah. How did Catwoman in the comics get it? She just decided, hey, I'm kind of agile. Let me get a leather outfit and a whip.
Every Batman villain is basically something that was generated by some accident, right? Isn't that the whole idea?
Yeah, but I don't think in her. I don't think Selene's story in the Batman universe is like that. I think she's just a cat burglar.
It's hard to say if you're talking about the original story.
Yeah,
I don't even know if I ever remember the original story anymore because there's been so many retellings of the Catwoman story. They've just never gotten it where they want it to be. The same way with Wonder Woman. I mean, it's just like you have all these different origin stories throughout the comics. It's like, where do you land on? Which one do you pick? But I do think they just kind of went with something here and just said, why not? Because it was derivative of Batman Returns, right? Because that was starting point.
Let me tell you what Bob Kane and Bill Finger did. Okay. By the way, Bill Finger should have been at the courthouse day one and changed his name to something other.
Yeah. Love that documentary on Hulu, by the way.
Just look good. His first name wasn't Harry.
Yeah, Harry Finger.
I saw someone the other day that I was introduced to a person and it was hard to not ask, why haven't you changed your name?
What was it?
Like,
what was the last
name? I realized I don't want to say it now because it's an actual person that I was introduced to.
So here's a story I can't tell you.
But it was like, wow, like this is really something, you know?
Yeah.
Like if your name, like if I told you my first name was Stick and my last name was Mud, you know, and you would be like, really? Like you're going with that? Like,
what's your middle name? And you know
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What if your name was Peter Gozinia? You'd want to go.
You want to go change that. Gozinia. Yeah. I like that name. That's my new last name. Gozinia.
Peter Gozinia.
Gozinia.
So here's the deal. The fictional character associated with DC Comics franchise, created by Bill Finger and Bob Kane, currently portrayed as an orphan. And this is how it works right now. She's an orphan who learned to survive on Gotham City's streets. She took to thievery to survive, determined to do it in style. She learned martial arts, trained extensively to perfect her skills in cat burglary. Her criminal activities are often tempered by a reluctant altruism, making her an inconsistent villain, occasionally an ally to Batman. She regularly eludes capture by the Dark Knight and maintains a complicated adversarial relationship with the Batman, frequently turns flirtatious and occasionally legitimately romantic. She is one of Batman's best known loves. All right. So in her true origin story, she's just super agile and ninja-like and learned a bunch of shit. She didn't have a bunch of cats walk up and breathe on her.
They really thought this. They said, hey, what would be the perfect romantic adversary to Batman? How about a cat burglar, and let's make her a woman? And I think that was probably the original seed of the idea. And then somewhere along the lines during the 60s, I think we said, you know what would be super sexy? A lady in leather suit going purr meow and making her super overly sexualized. And for some reason that's like stuck around.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's this movie's greatest weakness is the fact that there's such over sexualization because it's almost like her superpower to be overly sexualized. And I'm like, what if we applied that to a dude like Batman? What if Batman's one of his, you know, his or Superman's superpowers was super sexy?
Well,
that would just be weird, right?
That would be really weird.
Yeah, but as a culture, a popular culture, and as comics as a subgenre, women are always the subject of the tightest outfits and the least amount of clothes and the most sexualization. So none of that surprises me. But what surprised me is them leaning into the supernatural. I'm a cat lady now, so I'm sleeping up here. And guess what? When you throw me off a thing, I land on my feet. And when I eat, I only want fish. And, you know,
Right.
Like that stuff drove me up a tree. I could, like
absolutely.
A cat.
Like a cat. Yeah, drove you up a tree and then you couldn't get down.
Yeah, I couldn't get down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar, you know, the same kind of thing happened with Batman Returns with Michelle Pfeiffer, right?
Oh, but wasn't mousy. It so much better though?
No. No.
Go back and watch her clips.
No, I have. It's not good.
It's not a better
story, but her origin story is similar. She's this mousy woman, no pun intended. She finds out something at her company that she isn't supposed to find out about. She's pushed off a building or something, and then when she lands, a bunch of alley cats start like gnawing on her,
giving her their nine lives. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll donate a life. Okay, I'll donate a life.
Like, wait, and if you know cats, starting cats don't anything.
Yeah,
cat funding her lives.
Yeah. Now, if they had brought a bunch of rats and like laid them at her, I would be like, okay, I can see that. But yeah, right.
Yeah. But I challenge you, Dunaway, to go back to the Tim Burton. The Tim Burton stuff is bad.
No. I've watched it, and I actually there's something that works about it in that level that doesn't work in this one. It's like they lean too far into it. They just kind of Pfeiffer kind of like teased it a little bit and said, oh, here's a little tease of an idea. Halle Berry just full out went, look at me. I'm a cat. Meow.
Right. Yes,
walking on all fours now. Meow, meow.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. She did everything but like have a scratch.
She went full on cat.
Yeah. Totally.
Too far.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Like I don't want to poo-poo it too much because honestly, all hero origin stories are kind of dumb in some ways or another, or they force it down our throats too much. But this thing is so uneven. It's so like I don't know how to explain this. Like,
okay. There's never any reason to care about the characters, in my opinion.
Right.
You never get a chance to sit down and cuddle up with the characters and go, tell me your story. What's going on right now?
Well, that's the job of things like the surrounding cast, right? Like you have to give the sidekick, in this case played by Alex Borstein, doing the best she can.
Yeah.
Actually, she seriously was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
Of course she was. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
But you have to give them enough of a presence, right? That I find my normal as a viewer, you know, like Scott's saying, it's uneven. Well, yeah, it's uneven. The main character starts out as meek and timid, mm-hmm. which, by the way, it feels like everything is defined in this movie's like glossary through that lens I was making fun of earlier, where it's like, what are women like?
Right.
I don't know. I think they're kind of, you know, like compared to men, they're kind of timid. So let's make sure this character emphasizes the timid, you know?
Right.
Who failed at this? Because this has a large female cast. So what was there so much pressure on the female cast to not say anything and not step up in 2004 to go, this is stupid. This is not how we do this.
We're definitely not putting it on the cast. Like,
right.
if you look at this cast, there's no one in this cast that is known for saying, okay, this script is bullshit, guys. Like, this has to be on the director and the producers.
I mean, they
Even
go so far as to hire probably one of the most non-threatening, sorry, Benjamin Bratt, but also kind of not overly masculine.
Sure.
Love interest, right? I mean, he's kind of the real doll that you put in your passenger seat, so nobody messes with you when you're driving in a bad neighborhood.
Yeah. I couldn't understand the attraction that everybody seemed to have for him. It's like, oh, he's so hot.
Listen,
he doesn't smolder.
Let me dive in here and say that I am a huge fan of Benjamin Bratt. I think he's very unique, interesting looking dude. But I agree, he's a Barbie doll in this. He's a Ken doll. And in a lot of ways, he's a Ken doll with a mode, and that mode is switched to perfect. Like, he's the perfect cop. He never makes a mistake. Exactly. He never does anything wrong.
Kids. Yeah. He's, you know, that, I mean, basically, it's kind of like what Randy's saying. He's like the check off the list for what women want. Basically, mm-hmm. or what they thought women wanted.
Yeah,
right. And that's the thing. They're so wrong. Everybody making decisions about what should be in the script and what should be seen from the camera is wrong all the time. Mm-hmm. And Benjamin Bratt's a great example. The counter to him is Chris Pine and Wonder Woman.
Mm.
Chris Pine and Wonder Woman has to run the same role, roughly. This is a movie about a heroic woman who is not going to be sort of overshadowed by some dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, you know what? You're nailing it. This is exactly the analog, how to do it right versus how to do it wrong.
Yes. And, yeah. And so Benjamin Bratt's job is to be this thing that is just a sort of like window dressing for Catwoman stuff. Like mm-hmm. they occasionally intersect, but he's not supposed to solve the crime, right? He's not supposed to take down the bad guy. Right. And Benjamin Bratt is just, I don't know. He's just like a non-entity. But by the time you get to the end of the movie, like he comes up with the great twist at the end. We'll put you back in the cell and then everything will be, no one will know it was you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Yeah. But you know, otherwise, that could have been anybody could have done that.
Yeah. Was he the love interest in Miss Congeniality? Yes. Was he like a thing during the early 2000s?
Yeah, he's great, dude. He was fresh off his rad role on Law & Order. That's where I first saw him.
Right.
He was great on there. And then he did other stuff. And he's good on new stuff, by the way. There's a bunch of crap out now that he's in. He's great in it.
Well, let me throw some things out at you. Do you remember him in Demolition Man?
No.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even remember him in Demolition Man at all.
Do you remember
seen that movie like 100 times.
Nope. Wait, he was in Traffic?
Yeah. Do you even remember him in Doctor Strange, which came out 2 years ago?
Oh, my God.
Yes,
no.
I do remember him in that. Yes.
That movie came out 15 months ago.
No, hold on. I don't think that one's fair. I totally remember him in that. He was by the end revealed to be a bad man, but he was really good in that. And I would point your squinties at Coco, who's fantastic as Ernesto de la Cruz in that. It was really good.
Yes. And, but that's a voice. I mean, that's like, you know, that's
right.
A presence that's made by the visualization of a character, not by his own vision. Like the fact that we don't remember him in things like Demolition Man is that he's
background noise,
filler.
Right?
He's pretty filler. Like he's a great actor. And again, the Law and Order stuff is fantastic. And I really liked him in 24 and all that stuff. But he's, I don't know if it's just that he's not given roles where he has a massive presence or he just doesn't convey a massive presence in things other than Law and Order.
Despite this shit show, for some reason, I really like Sharon Stone's performance.
No, she's,
I don't know.
She's
don't
over
know
the
why,
top,
because
though.
It's obviously Cruella de Vil-ish.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's so simple, but it worked for me.
And I feel like I need to praise this movie in ways. Like, there are things about this movie that I found really good. Like, Sharon Stone and Lambert Wilson's faces. There was something about their faces where every time you saw them, you're like, what is, and you could tell the film really went all in on the idea that they're crazy about cosmetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their faces, all these close up, huge pictures, even in scenes where Sharon Stone was standing in front of her own face, which by the way is like the height of ego. And I kind of like it in movies and I kind of hate it at the same time.
But I was actually like, is Lambert Wilson wearing a mask? His face was, I couldn't look away it almost looked like they had somehow cosmetically sucked his cheeks in and given him a bigger jaw than he actually has. It was weird. Like it wasn't just makeup. There was something more there. And that was the kind of thing where I was like, man, this movie could have been so much if it had been written well.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean,
is it the writing that failed? Sorry, Scott, go ahead.
No, it's essentially going to ask the same question. I think there's some writing problems for sure, but I think the director, this one guy with one name, his name is Pitoff. I've never heard of him before. Mm-hmm. He did very little director-wise. He did a lot of special effects work. This feels like one of those guys that got handed an opportunity and said, all right, we're giving you your own movie. See what you can do there, buddy. And it turned out to be one of the biggest flops of that decade, let alone that year.
Visual effects wise, I mean, there's some, maybe not executed perfectly, but there's some cool visual effects kind of stuff.
For
in
2004,
here
where, some of the CG stuff is pretty impressive.
Right. The Catwoman, Halle Berry running across the ledge of a building and stuff. And then that building kind of turns and you're looking at it from a different angle and then she appears on the top of it. Kind of cool stuff.
Yeah. Her ripping through Salt Lake City downtown is very interesting.
So I just, since you brought it back up, I recognized Vancouver. I recognized Los Angeles.
Oh, in the live action scenes for sure. But when they would show like her flipping through the CGI'd up city, there was some Salt Lake shit happening there. But there've been lots of like early promo texts that they would send out to papers and stuff to promo the movie all had in the streets of Salt Lake City. Like they would say that, but then, but then later they wouldn't say it.
I gotta tell you, Scott, Utah just never fails to surprise me. Like you guys are just living in a whole other world. It's amazing.
Utah, yeah. Sometimes you guys are the Benjamin Brad of the United States.
Yeah, no, we are. You're totally, you know what? That works right there. It keeps our,
and I'm not, not saying it's only Utah. Like, trust me, there are people in Texas who will shout to the hills about how something was made in Texas. Like, it's not just Utah. There's just something special about Utah. Like,
yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yesterday, I found out we did an episode of The Instance with Christian Nairn, who played Hodor on Game of Thrones, our second time having him on. And he said, or he told me either pre-show or post-show, I can't remember, but he said, you know, I've been in Provo for like the last 6 months. And I went, what? You're like 20 minutes from here. And he goes, yeah, we're filming a new TV show out there, and it's out just south of Provo, and we should go to lunch. And I said, okay, yeah, we'll totally go to lunch. But it was just this other reminder that every once in a while, shit's getting made here, but nobody cares because that's not the point. And the beauty of that is it's kind of cool to mention it, but then our cost of living also stays down because no one gives a shit. It's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing. Our houses cost less. Everything costs less. I can see a movie for $9 a seat. I don't know about LA and their $14, $15 lifestyle they have down there. But anyway.
That Utah pride. There's nothing like it.
Right. Well, you know, you like where you like what you like. Anyway, but the point is, what was my point?
We were talking about is it a fault of the writing? Is it a fault of the directing? And I think Halle Berry's delivery of lines, again, great actress, and I love her in so many other things that it's surprising that she's this bad in this, but her directing, she's been directed to deliver the lines like she's in a comic book movie.
Right.
And that's
so many one-liners.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how do you like, you know, try this on for size? I mean, I'm not quoting directly from the movie because I've washed it out of my head, but
this is something that comes back that I ask all the time. I'm always going, at what point do actors and actresses have the ability to understand that they're in a shit show? I mean, because you could get a script and go, oh, that reads well. You know, that reads well. This is an interesting story. Oh, she's like a Catwoman. Oh, those are some really interesting ideas. And, you know, and most of the dialogue reads okay. But then once you actually get in front of the camera, and especially when there's a lot of CG, you know, you're in this different scenes. Here's a scene. The director sets it up. You have to trust that the director has this vision and that he's going to take what you perform and use it to maximum effect. Well,
and Brian, the algorithm for when do you realize that you're in a shit show has a dollar in it. It has money.
$100 million budget, right?
Right. And it changes dramatically what the participants' willingnesses are, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're completely willing to sell anything for a certain price, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know?
Interesting. So so I'm curious. I mean, she definitely, Halle Berry definitely owns the idea that this movie was a shit show post, you know, its performance. But did she realize it during, you know, certainly not before, but at least during, did she just go, oh man, what have I done?
But you know what I'm saying? Like if somebody comes to you and says, I'm about to pay you $8 million. You're like, well, they must know what they're doing. Right? Like, that's going to change your perspective.
No, there are a million examples in movies every day of people who you think are like, you know, Robert De Niro and some other famous actors all in something where on the ground, everything seems like a normal thing. But in editing and in vision and in all that other stuff, it ends up coming out like different on the other end. And that goes both ways. Sometimes it seems like everything's great and it comes out shit. And then there's times where everything seems terrible. Like, ask Tom Hardy about how much fun he had on Fury Road. He freaking hated it. He complained the whole time, didn't like anybody, fought with what's-her-name, just did not, nobody got along, and he was cheesing on the director all the time. And then later, he gets up at Comic-Con or wherever it was and apologizes. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. This is like an amazing film, and it was incredible, and it just, on the ground, it felt different. So it's like that, right?
What was that movie again?
Mad Max Fury Road. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, all right. Fourth in the series. I suggest you can watch it all by itself. You don't need the others. It's fantastic. Anyway.
I'm starting to worry for the health of our listeners that play the drinking game. anytime you mention Fury
Road. I think they just don't even, you don't even listen to the Morning Stream or Film Sack. Like those are, you, I'm sorry, we've driven away those listeners entirely.
Yeah, or Current Geek. I keep hearing it bring it
the
up.
Doctor
on there.
Has said, look, it's your liver. You got to stop listening to Film Sack in the Morning Stream.
Go ahead.
You were saying that it's written well, and I take issue.
I didn't say it was written well. I said
on paper is what you're saying.
It's a possibility that it could have read differently written.
I'll tell you how it was before it goes where he's going. I will just say this: it's written like it's an animated, directed DVD, 45-minute to an hour-long DC story. If this was imagine this entire story. If you close your eyes and imagine it all animated, mm-hmm. no problem. It works on that level.
Yeah,
it is what it is, and you're done.
You can do those, you know, over cats come when they feel like it, not when they're told. You know, you can.
Well, if you read it like that, yeah. But if you read it like
cats
come when you know,
that's how Halle Berry read it.
Yeah, no, I agree with Thibbit on this. This is like a script. It would have played in animation. It does not play in live action at all.
Well, I can't say how the original script read, because it might not have had all of these punchy one-liners. They may have went later on and went, you know what we need? We really need to punch this up and start punching up some of these words. So I don't know what the original script looked like versus, I'm just saying, I think it takes more than just acting skills. It takes reading skills and vision as an actor to be able to pick good scripts. And deliver
them in a way that doesn't, you know, if she would have delivered the lines more subdued and more...
Right.
Because
she bought in at some point. She bought in,
and she and Pitoff,
right?
Probably said, "No more emphasis. You must really sell the line. Yeah. You know,
Ratatouille.
Don't deliver exactly. Don't deliver like you're doing Monster's Ball. Deliver like you're doing." Comic book reading.
Yeah, he's French, by the way. But I like this.
In case you didn't know that he's French.
Yeah, he's
apparently
French.
He's Prussian.
Yeah, Prussian.
Very Prussian.
There you go.
I did like the fact that there was as they were exploring the mythos of the cat women that prior to coming to the United States they were heavily in the Russian area, and that's where the migration was from.
Well, originally Egypt, right, and then kind of spread out from there. In fact, the opening logo with the Catwoman name is on a bunch of hieroglyphics, which is you should have been everybody's first warning that something's up.
Our first warning that something was going horribly wrong was that the opening credits were 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they never ended.
Yeah.
But I actually was trying to watch it and make notes at the same time, because I'm like, oh, they're really telling a story here. They're telling a whole separate story in these cut scenes. I'm trying to figure out what they're trying to get to.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Turns out to be garbage poo.
Nothing.
And
nothing.
Then the setup for the character's inception was too long. I was bored out of my mind by the first act of the film.
Mm-hmm. Like the whole mousy, I'm just trying to get the work done. That no one here at work likes me. The cat's on the ledge. I got to save it.
Yeah. Yeah. It went on forever, that part.
The painful... Right. Noisy heavy metal neighbors.
Oh my gosh. Could
so bad.
Hey, like, did you notice who that guy was though? It was the freaking Swede. The guy.
Okay. You look familiar. I couldn't place him.
Yeah, no, not him. The guy that was called the Swede on Hell's shit. You'd know him if you saw him. Damn it. I have a picture of him.
Christopher Heyerdahl.
Yeah, so if anyone has seen the TV show on AMC called Hell on Wheels. He plays a guy called the Swede, even though he's Norwegian, and he's one of the best villains of all time in that show. And in this, he was
pretty. Look, as an outsider to the whole movie, I mean, because I'm sure he wasn't privy to all the other stuff, so he just kind of shows up and does his best performance. And I thought he did. He was definitely unlikable. I hated him. I really just wanted him to die.
Yeah, he's a really interesting dude. He was also in that that thing I saw with Tim Roth recently.
Tin Star.
Yeah, Tin Star. Weird in that.
Like how he's been in all these TV adaptations for movies. Like he's in the Van Helsing TV series. Yeah. He's in the 12 Monkeys TV series.
He looks like a perfect Minority Report
TV series.
I'll tell you who he'd be great, although I think he may be too old for it now, but he would have been a great Highlander remake character for Clancy Brown's character. Like he would have fit right into that. But anyway, as soon as I saw him, I was like, oh my gosh, dude, you were just getting what they'd give you back then in 2004. They were giving you nothing.
No kidding. By the way, speaking of 2004, here, this is the thing that blows my mind. I would have put this, if you had asked me, I would have said, oh, this came out during the Schumacher Batman area.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Batman, pretty close.
No, not even close.
Really? I thought it was like a little bit like, what, 4 or 5 years later?
This was 1 year before Batman Begins. This is 1 year before we got the Christopher Nolan movies, and like 7 years after the last of the Joel Schumacher movies.
Yeah, no, this is more like around your hey, they're making a new Punisher with freaking Tom Jane, and this is the era. Right.
This is when they weren't sure what to do, burning the bridges of the Schumacher legacy then, right? It was just like, let's burn all this thing down.
I think they were trying to separate themselves. I feel like they were saying, we got a whole new direction. Her name is Patience, right, which is a shitty name, and we're going to go in a whole new place, and it's not even
Gotham.
It was the only
way we knew how to portray superhero movies at the time, right? I mean, isn't that kind of like...
It was how these morons knew how to portray it. No, seriously. Like, if you look at, read the... There's 5 executive producers. They're all men. Read their names. You won't recognize them. Mm. Like... If you just look at this thing from a distance, it's like, how in the world did this come out while Christopher Nolan was making Batman Begins? Yeah. How is that possible?
Well, right. Hey, by the way, IMDb says people who like Catwoman also like Elektra.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin, Ghost Rider, Fantastic Four.
Mm. Exactly. Hey, you know all those great superhero movies we've come out with lately? Yeah, forget all those. If you like Catwoman, you're going to like
The Green Lantern. This is like the top 8 movies that you never want to see.
Sure.
Release-wise, this fits right in between Ben Affleck's Daredevil
and
What's in Your Wallet's Elektra. Yeah, I mean, it's the year right between those two movies were released.
I'm going to make a little confession here. I kind of like the Elektra movie.
You are insane. You're both insane.
I certainly liked it more than this.
Oh, Tina.
Right?
Oh, yeah. You've forgotten.
Yeah.
While we're talking about comparisons that are relative, it really helped Catwoman that we had just watched The Room.
Seriously,
watching Catwoman, I'm like, ooh, I love this camera work. It really helped.
I like it when they spend money on a movie. Ooh.
I'll tell you what, The Room was such a different dimension that by the time I got around to this, I had washed all that off in the shower. I was good. I wasn't even thinking about that anymore. And I will say, there are moments, like when she first scampers around the roof real fast. I thought that was kind of cool. Like, there were moments where I went, oh, all right, some of this isn't bad. The fight in the robbery in the bank or the jewelry place,
I hated that scene. That was the worst.
It was okay.
I felt like I stepped right back into the 60s Batman.
Well, maybe that's why I liked it, because there was some camp there I was grooving on. I mean, but we're talking about, just to finish the other thought, we are talking about a film that's 1 year away from Batman Begins, which I think changed the hero genre moving forward from its brief stint at doing pretty good with Spider-Man, and then things kind of dipped. And then moving forward, it was Batman to set the tone. And then we're 4 years from her, from this movie, we're 4 years until we get the first MCU movie, which was Iron Man in 2008. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we're done. Like, it's then, a whole new baggage.
That ball is rolling downhill.
Yeah.
How is Catwoman? And I don't know the answer to this, but I suspect it's true. Is Catwoman the character, the DC character, that's been portrayed by the most different?
Oh, it's a lot, because if you look up Catwoman,
Superman's way up there.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if Superman. I mean, because you've got 3 during the TV show. I'm talking live action, not talking about.
If you do a Catwoman, Halle Berry doesn't even show up in the first 6 or 7 results for Catwoman.
Oh, because you can look up the character. That's a good.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean,
yeah, you may be right.
Like, Anne Hathaway shows up first, and Pfeiffer, and then
Anne Hathaway. Back that truck up. Where is she?
Yeah, the Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Then you got
back
Cameron.
Your city. Yeah. Awesome.
I completely forgot about her, that she's in that, or that she's Catwoman. I completely forgot.
Eartha Kitt comes up before Halle Berry does in Catwoman. That's how far people are spacing themselves. Like, nope, nope.
I'm sure there's a comic book geek out there who's screaming that they know the answer to which character has been played by the most actors.
right?
Right. Because I mean, Batman.
I'm totally with you. This feels so like a one off. This movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's lots of one offs because it's hard to do. You know, like this is a well. I don't think it's hard to do now. I think you like when we get the Black Widow movie. Guess what that movie's going to feel like? The proper treatment of a Catwoman movie. Just Marvel doing it. That's what it's going to feel like. That just got announced. That's super exciting. Finally getting her on her own. Yeah. So that's good. No longer is she relegated to she's in all the Marvel movies as kind of a little bit of a backup. Chick, yeah. Right. She gets her own thing now.
she's the Professor and Marianne of the DCU.
Exactly.
I mean, the MCU.
But that's what you'll get. You'll get someone who's a little bit damaged, but who's doing the right thing, who's challenged by this stuff, like a strong woman now, role. All that stuff's going to happen.
You're not confusing it with that new Jennifer Lawrence movie where she's basically playing the Black Widow. No.
There's an actual Black Widow. Let's see. Black Widow movie. I swear I just saw this. I believe you.
I'm kind of just making the joke about the...
I found it.
Which
Scarlet.
Like,
yeah, makes sense. I've not heard anything about that other one though you're talking about. Is that supposed to be good?
It's either out in theaters, it's gonna be out soon, but it's basically feels like the Black Widow origin story that we got in one of the Avengers movies, but just as Jennifer Lawrence now as the character.
Oh, interesting.
Like this brainwashed spy kind of thing, Russian Natasha Romanoff type character. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it was advertised on the front of Star Wars, right?
Was it?
Yes.
When you went to see The Last Jedi, that was after this movie?
I don't think I saw that one. Scarlett, by the way, Scarlett Johansson, $25 million for Black Widow she's going to make.
Wow. She deserves every bit of it. She is a presence.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree.
Well, and they've not handled the character perfectly in the MCU. Mm-hmm. So give it its own.
I'll tell you where she was best. I think she was best in Winter Soldier. She was amazing in that.
For sure.
Yeah. I think Avengers 2, everybody can just hang that one up and say sorry, because that sucks. That movie sucks.
Right. We're still trying to figure some stuff out.
I wonder how much Jennifer Lawrence got paid for Red Sparrow. That's the name of the movie, Red Sparrow.
Red Sparrow. Mm-hmm. Right.
Because Red Widow.
Have you guys seen Mother?
No,
but it's on my list. As soon as it's available for streaming, I want to see that.
You should totally watch it and then prepare to sit and question everything.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard about, is that it's not your typical thriller. It's kind of like how Get Out redefined thrillers as well.
Well, you know, Aronofsky just has to show up and he gets nominations. But Dunaway, do you think Mother gets some Oscar noms?
Ooh, Oscar noms. Nom, nom, nom.
Nom, nom, nom,
that's a good question. I could see it doing that, but the movie is so, I don't know. I just don't know if it's.
There was a lot of hate. There was a lot of hate for it from a lot of reviewers and Hollywood people. And then there was a bunch of people who liked it. And it was the most divisive thing ever. I don't know if that means Oscars.
I like how open ended it leaves a lot of questions, but not everybody likes that. And so, it's abrasive, but it's an interesting watch. I enjoyed it as an art film. It's definitely an art film. I mean, if you want to sit down and just have some open ended questions, you know, there's some answers to some stuff, but it's an interesting watch in my opinion. And I think it deserves some credit because some of the things it does with storytelling is quite unique.
Just absolutely love the movie The Wrestler. I was so glad that it got two nominations for Oscars in 2008. Right. And when I heard that Aronofsky was making another kind of point the camera at people and have them talk movie, I don't know if it's quite
on the par with being as a complete piece as The Wrestler, but it was still a good watch.
No, Aronofsky's interesting. I've always liked his movies. I don't like the one where... What's the drug one? Everybody's all stoned out of their minds.
Traffic?
And doing shit. No.
Requiem for a Dream.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's the most uncomfortable thing I've ever watched in my life. I could never watch that again.
And it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a movie that you show your 15-year-old one time and ruins their lives.
Right.
That's Jennifer Connelly stuff is so freaking rough, dude. I will say this, though, about Red Sparrow. I just watched the trailer in silence as you guys were speaking because I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it later with sound. But she's even Russian in this.
Which is the whole hook, right?
Yeah.
Of the Red Sparrow. Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of movies that make me think. This movie really tried. Okay, no, the movie didn't try. You know me, I'm always, every time I watch a movie, I'm always trying to put the dots together. I'm always trying to find a pattern. And in this movie, the number 12 in Midnight is yeah. It almost feels like a theme, but it doesn't quite ever connect anything.
Wait, did that happen a lot? When did that happen?
The cast name Midnight, the deadline for the turn-in stuff is at midnight, because that ties in with the fact that she was trying to beat the deadline. That's what time she basically died. They didn't say she died at midnight, but it's implied that that's the time frame. Yeah. And there, you know, there's mentions of 12 o'clock several times by different actors. And so I wasn't sure what the significance of 12 was supposed to represent. And I think that pisses me off, because I feel like I'm spinning for that kind of stuff. But I don't think there was anything there.
It's probably purely accidental, because these guys aren't that smart.
It's not the water, the symbolism of water.
Right, exactly. It's not like a Minority Report where, I mean, it's actually literally water in the opening credits. I mean, opening credits is literally graphics over top of water. That was super intentional.
Let's for sure dig that old argument up and talk about that again.
Can we talk about what? Oh, okay, go ahead, Randy.
I was just gonna say this movie certainly had the cat tropes.
Oh my gosh, dude! Every cat trope there was, they had that.
Everything we know about cats.
Yeah, right. Fall on your feet.
The rain,
the purr, right. Shit, the, what did she have? Yeah. Somebody had a catnip and all that, and she was freaking out.
Oh, she's rubbing her face. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had the cat Frances lady. Conroy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was great. She threw the catnip at her. So that's a trope. Throw something at your, at the person you suspect has some kind of weird skill.
Going so far as to have, like, when she first gets her cat awareness, and there's a little spider running around on the ground. And she's like,
bird. Now, I know everyone would say 6 feet under, Scott, 6 feet under. But I don't know that I know Frances Conroy very well. What do I know her from outside of
this? Did you ever watch any of the American Horror Story? She's like one of the recurring actresses in American Horror Story.
I saw season one where he burns his junk on the stove. And I saw a little bit of two, a little bit of the insane one. But I kind of fell off that one.
It feels like she's in everything.
Was she in The Wicker Man?
Oh, shut up. Was she?
No.
She wasn't The Wicker Man. She was.
Oh my gosh, she was.
Yeah, she was Dr. T.H. Moss in The Wicker Man.
Okay, so we've seen her here.
Yeah.
She's been in more stuff than that recently.
Made in Manhattan. Also, and Law and Order, man, the Law and Order connection
Everyone in this show, everyone in the movie Catwoman has been on. If we did Law and Order connections, the entire cast would be there.
It's like The Mist and Walking Dead.
Yeah,
you're automatically pulled in.
Speaking of which, the recent Mist TV series, which by the way is horrifically bad and deserves so much more. The movie was great and the book's great, but anyway, she's in that. She's in The Mist, so it's funny you brought that up.
Yeah, but how many people were in Hill Street Blues and Law and Order? I'm curious, because she was in both.
I don't know if there's a crossover there. We'd have to get, and hey, Daryl, we got a new job for you, buddy.
The thing for Frances Conroy is definitely 6 feet under. She's one of the seven actors that are credited in all 63 episodes of 6 feet under.
Still haven't seen it.
Really? Oh, okay. Well, it's becoming more and more of a classic all the time. So you should watch it.
I keep being told that it ages really well, and there's no reason why not to watch it. Now that I have HBO, the only reason I ever saw it before is I never paid for HBO, and now I've got 20 ways to watch it. So I should just watch it.
Yeah, I mean, Peter Krause is great. Dexter, Thomas C. Hall. Is that it? Michael C. Hall?
Michael C. Hall. Thomas Michael C. Hall is the one that was, he was
Thomas Howell. Confusing.
Yeah, where he played. When did he play a black dude? What was that movie?
Soul Man.
Can we make a pact right now? Put all our hands in the circle and make a pact that we never watch Soul Man, please.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's.
I thought we already watched it. Have we not watched it yet?
We haven't watched it.
Please don't. Let's never. It sucks.
Soul Man.
Well, that's the whole point.
It sucks. I don't mean the whole point. I don't have a problem with the racial stuff. That's fine. That movie sucks.
It's just bad.
Yeah, it's just bad. So we
that's what I was saying. That's what I film sack. I don't know what you're talking about.
For some reason, I get scenes from Soul Man and The Mannequin mixed up. I don't know why.
Oh my God, Mannequin.
Oh,
was it same time frame possibly?
I like that you called it The Mannequin. That's even better.
Oh, yeah. The Mannequin. Sounds Kim like Cattrall is The Mannequin.
The Mannequin. No, they were roughly around the same time, or maybe they both used We Built This City from Starship in them.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I just can't. I don't know. I can't.
Hold on. They used Starship, but it wasn't We Built This City. It was Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now for Mannequin. For The Mannequin.
Those two songs are the same to me. I can't even separate
them. Well, they might as well be.
Yeah. I hate that stuff so bad. Here is my favorite bit of history about Catwoman that I love the most. Halle Berry, okay, one of only six actors in history. Only five at the time, anyway. So there's been one since, but she possesses both an Oscar and a Razzie. After her win for her infamous performance in the movie, she also became the first ever, and this is still true, to accept the Razzie in person. She walked out on stage at the Razzies, proudly holding both her Oscar for Monster and Razzie for this, Aloft. She gave a short acceptance speech and said this, "I'd like to thank Warner Brothers for making me do this god-awful piece of shit movie." If that doesn't improve your opinion of Halle Berry overall, I don't know what does.
Totally. Oh, you know, that's something I didn't consider when she considered this role. Was she on, like, retainer with Warner Brothers? And it's like, you have to fulfill this many movies. Here's a good one, and here's Catwoman.
Yeah, right.
But again, money. Money, 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 money. It doesn't, like, she got paid. That's the thing. If you have a contract and you realize you want out of it, you have to pay somebody money. The money went the other direction here. She got paid a lot of money to make Catwoman. She made Catwoman.
So in other words, it's almost like life is complicated for artists and they have to make difficult decisions. And sometimes we boil it down to just they made a mistake.
Yeah,
and
weird.
Sometimes it's just because they have...
So like I'm with you, Scott. Get paid, do your job, and then go out and call it bullshit in public.
Yeah,
like, that's great.
Yeah, embrace it for what it is. I really admire that. I think that's great. By the way, I keep saying Monster was the movie she won her Oscar. It's for Monster's Ball.
Yeah,
right. And hold your emails, everybody.
Charlize Theron from Mad Max Fury Road.
Cool. Yes, where her and the girl from Adam's Family go on a trip. Isn't that the deal?
You know, this movie only recovered like 80 million out of the 100 million budget the year that it was released, I guess, or subsequently to DVD or whatever. I wonder where it's at now, because there's a little bit of benefit to being known as one of the worst movies because people still want to watch it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm curious to what the end total was for Catwoman.
But this doesn't have the cult status that like Troll 2 or even The Room have as far as for being so bad it's funny,
but it doesn't have the cult status. But that's not doesn't necessarily have to be a lot of people. I think a lot of people know in the general populace that Catwoman is bad and possibly has watched it on Netflix and possibly even likes it. Is that possible?
Yeah, someone does.
It's got a 27 Metascore. It's got a
Somebody likes it.
Somebody likes it. Somebody out there likes it.
And like I say, I like it for what we do, and I don't mean that in the new the normal usual way. I actually think this is a standout because there's so many questions about, you know, why they did it a certain way or what was the state of hero movies and why would a studio be nervous to not just embrace the story that is, you know, Celine and not go this other way. Like there's so much to say around it. That it's perfect for us in a way that is even better than some of our other poopy movies we watch. So
speaking of poopy things we look at, this week's picture on IMDb has to be Byron Mann. So Byron Mann is formerly known as Byron Chan. He's like the main henchman in this movie.
Right. He would have been a better love interest. I actually think he's an interesting looking dude.
Yeah. So main henchman in this movie, Byron Mann. On IMDb, you got to look him up, and I want to ask him the question because he's a professional actor. He's getting work. He's been in some big things, like small roles, but he was in The Big Short a couple years ago.
He was good in The Big Short. He was such an ass.
Yeah, Mr. Chow.
This guy is a working professional actor who I'm sure is aware of IMDb. I just want to ask him, why you got all these compression artifacts in your picture?
It's because it's such a small thumbnail picture if you look at the source.
Why?
Oh, he was in The Expanse. That's what I saw him in recently. He was great in that. He's great. I like this guy a lot.
And I would like, since I'm not a professional actor, I'd like to know if this is just my take. Like, I think to myself, if I were Byron Mann, this would interest me greatly. I would be very concerned about my...
Upload that picture on that thing. I want to know who did it.
Yeah, but maybe people who are actually making money as actors don't give a shit. Maybe that's just nothing to them.
That's it. Because right. I think, you know, we all come from the IMDb generation. We're watching a movie at home. We're watching some Netflix, Hulu, whatever. We're like, oh, what do I know? Who do I know that guy from?
Where's my phone?
And we're always pulling it up. And then we see the photo that they decide they're going to put on IMDb. And they're like, that's your Twitter avatar? That's your LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, every now and then I hear a famous person give a piece of advice that goes something like, never Google yourself. And I'm like, oh, okay. So those of us who aren't famous, we Google ourselves. But like, I have this real purpose. I want to know if, like, there's a bad picture of me. I want to know. I would like to.
But what can you do about it? I mean,
well, there's not. I mean, in the case of IMDb, you can definitely do something about it.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about. I think we've already kind of touched on this, but what grossed Scott out the most?
Oh, yeah.
And
so
I think the obvious one is apparently another new cat power, which is the ability to open a can of tuna 2/3 of the way and then pry the metal lid back and just eat right out of the can. So
incorrect, but you're close. You're getting there.
Oh, the bed tuna is the worst tuna, man. You don't ever want to come across a woman who is eating cans and cans of tuna in the bed.
No, like, oh. No, dude, you know what? Listen, I don't want to be indelicate here, but you shit like a monster when you eat nothing but tuna. It's not good. Everyone stinks. Yeah. Everyone stinks.
Tuna poo.
Yeah, it's not good. But you're close. Not quite it. No.
I know what it is. It's got to be.
Let me give you another hint. It is definitely another cat action. There's the hint.
Right. I think it has to be the fact that that when she went and licked Benjamin Bratt in the face, that she had just got through with a big old can of tuna, right?
You are correct. Licking Benjamin Bratt in the face is gross.
Yeah. Oh, right, of course, yeah.
And that shot was played to Scott's problems. Like, it was shot in such a way that you really got the feeling she took her tongue, put it on his neck, and went all the way up to the temple.
Yep.
Like, all the way over his jaw, his cheek. Like,
For no reason. Because she doesn't... What is the point of doing this in her persona? She doesn't need to do this. She loves this person, supposedly, on the outside.
Yeah.
Why, suddenly, she's in the hat, does she turn into a freaking sicko? It doesn't make any sense.
Scott, it's the duality of the cat personality. Yeah,
and also, Scott, you've had cats. We've all had cats. Every now and then, a cat likes to lick you.
Yeah.
Like, they just like
I have
you.
One now.
They
we
hate
just got
you
one.
1 minute, and they love you the next, right?
Yeah. He says it right in the very beginning of the movie. Sometimes when I'm good, I'm really, really good. But other times when I'm bad, I'm super bad and gross.
Yeah.
And if you forget, she'll remind you at the end.
Yeah. I am going to give something a runner-up, like though. Runner-up goes to sushi-eating noises she was making while she was...
I felt like there was a joke there that got cut somehow. Yeah. Like, because it was set up to be really clever. Like, she's eating the sashimi off the top of the nigiri and leaving the rice behind, and she's like gobbling it down really fast. But then he's like, whoa, what's up with that? And then she makes a face and that's it.
Exactly.
It was bad. Okay. It's bad. Listen, look at the
cats
note.
Don't like wasabi rice or seaweed.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say there's a bunch of or freaking the whatever the other stuff is that you get the little side the
ginger.
No cats.
Oh, I love ginger.
Well, you do, but the cats don't.
Who cares what cats like? Just like this movie, I don't care what she likes.
All right, listen to this note I wrote. This is pretty late when I was watching the movie. I watched it on Thursday. I wrote, I hate all the cat shit. Rain, fish, purring, etc.
Yes.
So, I feel like any time that came up, I was like, So here's the big question of the movie, though. Is she, because of the way they've sort of retconned her origin story or whatever, she's basically a zombie then, right?
Right, yeah.
Because she died.
Right, she's definitely she's dead.
Yeah.
Definitely dead and brought back to life by the cat. Same with Michelle
definitely
Pfeiffer.
So this is where this is the ultimate screw up in my opinion, because that is like the most supernatural ways to go ever, is that you're dead and we've reanimated you now, and now you're permanently cat lady.
That's Solomon Grundy basically too.
And that's dumb. It's dumb, especially when her true origin is she's a cat burglar and she's fast, and that's it. That's all she ever was. So I am annoyed by that more than anything else in the movie, because you're really staking your claim there and saying.
I kind of liked that angle a little bit, because, you know, Kat's supposed to have 9 lives. Did they imbue her with one of their lives? Did they come together? I kind of like the angle they went with, because I really haven't seen that story told in that capacity. And we have a lot of mysticism around cats. Why do they sit on people's chests? Do they really sit on babies and suck their breath? You know, there's a lot of mysteries, questions that we have there. So sure. I was kind of okay with them playing a little bit with that. I just didn't like the fact that they never let up. They put their foot on the cat gas pedal and just...
Well, not just put their foot on it, but steered the cat thing into places it shouldn't go. Like,
right.
Like cat motorcycle driving ability, cat basketball ability, cat hairstyling ability.
Cat hairstyling ability was my favorite, but the basketball
scissor,
thing.
Yeah. The double scissor hairstyling thing.
Yeah, that was real stupid. So,
By the way, like, there's the worst trope in the movie for me, which is Benjamin Bratt's character. I'm forgetting his name. Tom?
Tomcat. Get it? Tom Lone was his name, because he didn't need a partner. He was
lone wolf. Lone.
No offense to actual Toms that we know, but come on. It's Catwoman and his name is Tom. Are you serious?
Tom. It was a little lame.
Right.
So, okay. But anyway, the idea that she just puts on a very small mask and he ceases to recognize who she is.
This whatever, whatever DC.
Oh, no, that's a good point. DC is all about that, though. Like, Clark Kent was the dumbest thing in the history of the world. But
sure, but we're all familiar with it. That's how tropes work. We all know that the Superman trope is a trope. Why would you reuse it?
Because it sets up that CSI technique of matching the lipstick. So oh my God, it's a perfect match of the lipstick. She had her lip oriented exactly the right same way.
Mm-hmm. That was like they went down the list and said, okay, we need to make the most cat and woman movie we can make. So everything that is a cat element and everything that is a woman element, we need to just lean into it all the way down from how do we identify a woman? We identify her not by her fingerprints or anything else.
Yeah.
No. Lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make the most woman movie.
Oh, that tech, though, was making me cringe. Like, come on.
Right.
No, the
99% probability of the same lip print.
Yeah, this local local precinct has got this, like, lipstick detector.
Lip enhanced technology. Like, zoom enhanced.
That was shit. And also her the cell phone she had, that Nokia, was an actual model of the Nokia.
Phone?
But, yeah, the video phone that didn't exist in 2004, and that was horse shit. Yeah.
I will tell you, I laughed out loud, belly laughed with the exchange that Sharon Stone and Halle Berry had at her home when she was pointing to her husband, because she that phone exchange, that whole I don't have a phone, we'll take my phone. Well, that whole thing gave me belly laughs. It was just so outrageous. Mm. Loved it.
I just wanna point out, it starts with Sharon Stone hitting Halle Berry with a golf club.
Yeah.
Like that alone, like, okay, so apparently Catwoman has amazing armor or something.
Mm-hmm. Cat armor.
I don't know. I've hit my cat with a golf club action, and they just kind of get back up and go, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just it was just weird. Like the fact that they start out fighting and then Sharon Stone decides to pretend that she's actually on Catwoman's side and Catwoman falls for it.
Mm-hmm.
That just
loved it. I loved that part. I actually loved that dynamic. I even liked the fact that Sharon Stone's, that she was actually, you know, marbleized. I mean, it was so dumb, but for some reason that part worked for me.
Did it?
I don't know why.
All right.
Yeah.
You're like, just like Sharon Stone, don't you?
You're so forgiving.
I'm forgiving. Maybe it's because they set the bar so low. It's like, I got to forgive something.
Think you're like Newman. You love Sharon Stone. She, let's say she lets you see a little something.
She is, look, Sharon Stone is such an impressive looking person. She can stand next to Halle Berry and still they both can just be super impressive. It was nice.
That reminds me. I just saw an interview with her where she was, some guy had asked her about all the recent sex harassment stuff in Hollywood. And the guy asked her, and I can't believe he even asked it this way, but he says, in your long career, you've been working in Hollywood for almost 40 years, and your long career as one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood, have you experienced any of this sexual harassment that's been in all the news? And she belly laughs for like 15 seconds. She's laughing so hard. And then he has the audacity to say, well, I can't tell if you're just embarrassed by my question or if really there. And I'm like, dude, you are the most out of touch penis boy I've ever heard in my life.
And she's wearing this gray cable knit sweater, and it's huge.
Yeah.
And so her reaction is just like, it's like covered in a piece of clothing.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
No, it was my own personal choice to show my beaver in Basic Instinct. That was me.
You know what? Make this scene better.
Yeah.
A peek at my beaver.
Yeah. I haven't heard the term beaver in a while. So thank you for that. I appreciate the beaver use.
Hey, let's talk about chicks in buckets.
Oh, we got
chicks in the buckets.
I feel like we don't have just one chick in a bucket. I feel like we have 17 chicks in buckets because it's all the people probably still stuck on that Ferris wheel because apparently you're only gonna rescue the kid.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. And I mean, and again, that scene that was the scene where I went, "Oh, this is good animated. If this was animated, this would be a good scene."
Yeah.
That's not good in live action.
I was also curious because I'm always trying to connect the dots, and I was like, are they implying that Halle Berry has some kind of bad cat luck or something? Because why in the world did the Ferris wheel suddenly just explode? I didn't understand. They needed a plot hole.
I mean, they needed a thing.
So many bad things were constantly happening to her. I mean, just like bad luck. Cat thing. And
bad
I was
movie.
Like,
oh. Bad movie happened to her. That's why.
Is it all related?
And they just needed some sort of timer, basically, to make it, make you feel like she can't just sit there and say, "Well, we'll all just sit here until we're rescued." There's got to be like a ticking time bomb, which is
I'm Tom Lone, and I'm gonna jump down and fix this Ferris wheel with my improv skills.
I took the Sally Struthers Ferris wheel repair course online, and I'm totally
his solution is to literally put a wrench into literal gears. I was like, wow, boy, they thought about that a lot.
Totally, this is what I like about Dunaway's analytical approach to this stuff. You are looking for a pattern again, and there isn't one. I promise you,
there's not.
Shit.
This is the most infuriating pattern matching movie I've had in a while because there's usually a lot of intentional things in movies, and there was a lot of intentional things that just didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was my chick in the bucket.
Yeah,
logic.
Yeah. Also, when she snuck out of the bars of the little prison cell she was in, I just wanted to make a note that there's a serious continuity problem for me. So she's not the T-1000 from Terminator. She can't just meld her way through. Right. But there is a mid bar that she somehow passed through. So when she starts sneaking out,
there's supposed to be a mid bar there, but apparently that prison didn't have one.
I saw one.
Was it there before?
There was a bar there. She starts sneaking through and kind of weaseling her way through. Suddenly the bar is not there as she's halfway through, and then when she steps out the bar is back. So I'm telling you, like, a bar went through her gut right through her midsession, or that's just a bad choice of
vision. She has the abilities of the vision to phase through things as
right.
It annoyed me. Yeah. Those kinds of things annoyed me. And also, all her dialogue seemed to be ADR. I swear all of it was.
Scott, in TV Tropes, if you want to look that up sometime, that's called Cardboard Prison.
Mm.
And they've got a great list of movies or things like live action TV and movies.
I'm sure every week was Cardboard Prison on the Dukes of Hazzard. Right?
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I think Cardboard Prison is one of the new games you can get on the Nintendo Labo.
The new Labo. Yeah. You guys say Labo or Labo? How do you say it?
I say Labo.
I say Labo.
Because
I thought it was Lab, like Labo, Amiibo, like Labo. Yeah. I don't know. I could be wrong. Labia. Oh.
No.
Oh, no, not that? Okay, I've gone too far. Is that what you're saying? Okay, great.
Labo.
I'll tell you what. There are some fun audio moments in this movie, and I think we should play some of these if you guys are excited for this.
Clips.
Here's this is Helen and Frank. I don't remember why. Oh, this is the wrong thing.
Helen and Frank.
Hold on. Wrong thing. I guess skip to the wrong thing. Okay, there we go. I'm in the right place.
Helen and Frank, though, because I don't know what that is.
What is Helen and Frank? Hold on.
Actually, Helen is glad to receive the invitation.
Oh, it's a dating TMS video thing. Yeah, it's a TMS thing. All right. Sorry. Wrong group. Okay, here it is. This is, they're all like children. Whoops. Here.
You know, scientists, they're worse than models. You have to coddle them all the time like little children.
Would you say that's true of scientists generally? You got to coddle them. They're worse than models. That seems like a really shitty piece of dialogue that has no basis in reality, but whatever.
I worked in a chemistry lab for a couple of years, and all the scientists I worked around were the opposite of everything he said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like channeling Luke Skywalker here. Everything you said, back wrong, totally wrong. Every single word.
Good job.
Actual scientists are ugly old dudes who play cards at lunch that they eat out of paper bags they brought.
Yep. You're welcome, scientist.
Yep. Here's Lois. Here's Lois Griffin, everybody.
Tom Lone. Rhymes with cone, phone, bone.
Bone. I see what you've done there, Bone.
Oh, I haven't heard bone in forever either. That's a good one.
Yeah, boning's good.
Bone.
I think boning should come back as a term.
Again, Alex Borstein, great. But someone should have looked at the script and gone, no, this timid woman's friends would not have given her a leather bodysuit as a gift.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, all no. Shredded up.
I mean, I understand their want to say, look, Halle Berry is literally one of the most beautiful human beings ever made. We should I don't know the word exploit is right.
That was the idea,
that's exactly
right?
What they were thinking.
This
director was thinking, how do I exploit how she looks?
Yeah, I'm sure that's probably true. But she is beautiful. And today, like even today, I don't think she's aging. Something's going on over there.
Keanu.
Yeah, her and Keanu Reeves just don't age.
I'm kidding.
Benjamin Bratt. Tuna.
Yeah, Benjamin Bratt doesn't age either. That's true.
We never Swordfish came and went without us.
Yeah,
how did you know my Gmail password is Swordfish? Now we're in huge trouble. No, what now? Yeah, we never did get sword. We never got Halle Berry nipple.
Like it disappeared.
Speaking of cats, did I ever convince you guys to watch the movie Keanu?
No.
Oh, I've seen it though. It's great.
You suggested it to us, but I haven't watched it yet. It wasn't for lack of your trying, though.
Yeah, it was so Key and Peele thing, right?
That deal? Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So good.
I haven't watched it yet. I want to. I still haven't seen Get Out. There's a lot of things I haven't seen.
Yeah.
I need to see
Get Out. Up.
You got to get on that because the awards are coming.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out and see that.
Here's another one for you.
Remember.
I just like the way she said that. I think that was Alex Borstein. Peter.
It's like the time we went and saw a Catwoman in the theaters.
Peter!
All right, here's a Catwoman sound after she got killed and then brought back to life by a cat breathing on her. And it's a sound that just stuck with me. So here you go. There you go.
What was that?
I don't know what how
was
she
that supposed
that.
To be sneezing like a cat? Is that what that's supposed to be?
She was coughing and sputtering after getting out of the mud, so I don't know. But
it's like it's
the
like
cats do
snow.
That.
Yeah. You think that's why she was being like a cat?
Yeah, I think that's supposed to be cat-like.
So she's coughing up a furball.
Yeah.
Sneeze like a cat.
Yes.
Also, where'd all the water go? How'd you end up in that dry spot? What's going on right now?
Oh, right. I didn't think of that. Where did all that water go?
Well, it's
did the cats drink it? What's
it
going
all
on?
Got shat out of a pipe, and then when it's just like a temporary thing. The water comes out. It's full for a while, and then it lowers down because that water is finding other places to go.
Oh,
stop trying to be logical in this illogical movie.
I actually thought
the
in
only
that
thing
moment
I defend in the movie.
In that moment, as I'm trying to figure out whether or not that's the Vancouver inlet that she's laying next to, I actually thought that maybe the tide had gone down because there's pretty substantial tides there.
Could be. There's a lot of leaves in there when she got dumped in there. I thought it was supposed to be. What I was expecting is, this is like refuse from the makeup plant and all of the weird chemicals they use to make Sharon Stone's skin hard. Is going to be in there, and she's going to be breathing all that in, and that's what's going to turn her into.
That would be what usually happens in a Batman series story, right?
Yeah, that's the Joker thing they did for the Tim Burton one, which was super dumb. You guys forget, and Tim Burton made it so that Jack Nicholson's Joker is the one that shot his parents in the movie theater alley. That is so.
Right. So ridiculous,
sacrosanct, and dumb. Like, what are you doing?
You don't need to have everything tie up to the current movie you're doing. Like, Indiana Jones doesn't need to get the scar on his chin, his fear of snakes, and his ability to wield a whip all in the first 5 minutes of a movie.
Yep, yep. I'm going to say it out loud. I don't think Tim Burton's two Batman movies are good. I just don't. Sorry, everybody.
I'm with you on the first one. There's something about that second one I kind of like, and maybe it's Danny DeVito, maybe it's Christopher Walken.
There is a dark thing going on in two.
There's a lot to like in two in Batman
Returns.
Returns.
Is it Returns? Yeah.
It's Returns. Yeah.
I'll tell you what you have me wondering is, would I rather watch Catwoman or the first Batman, the Tim Burton Batman? It's like, is Tim Burton's Batman that bad?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's not.
No,
great.
It's not.
Yes, it
no,
is.
It's not.
Yes, it
no,
is.
It's not.
It's not. No, it's not. You think it's good? It's just because you were a kid, you were a young man, and you did. You don't. I'm telling you, it's not good anymore. It was.
It's good.
It was.
It's
fine. It was a thing of its time. Fine. In '89, it was a thing, and that's fine. But it's not good now. It's just not. His best movies are the ones that are like the least amount of Hollywood. It's like Big Fish and freaking.
It was a unique vision. Yeah. I liked it. I don't care what you say.
That might be my problem. So I may agree with you, is that it is a unique Tim Burton vision of Batman, and I don't think it's the right one.
I think you liked the 60s Batman, and I don't care for it as much, and I like the Tim Burton Batman. I think it's okay to like different flavors of Batman, but I definitely think it is. I definitely would not say that flavor of Tim Burton Batman is for everybody, just like I wouldn't say everybody likes vanilla or everybody likes chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They don't. Do you like vanilla chocolate, though?
Do you like mixing it up? Because I go to the Chinese restaurant, and you got like on the left-hand side, you got the chocolate, on the right-hand side, you got the vanilla, in the middle, it's a swirl.
Wow.
All I know is I've been following World of Warcraft for the last 15 years, and everyone likes vanilla.
Yeah, they say they do. They say they like it, but we'll see. Here's a dialogue that's real bad. So 20 seconds. It's just a taste because there's plenty in this movie, but here you go.
Oh, you're a brave man to be facing a mob like this. No backup?
I'm used to working alone most of the time.
Is that by choice or?
Yeah, fairs. No, I've had partners before, but turns out I take my job a little too seriously.
Well, you know my friend Sally? Well, that's what she says about me. She says that I'm fun deficient.
Yeah. Yeah, I know your friend Sally. The one time I met her, the pervert at your office. Yeah, I know her. Yeah, Sally.
The one time. It's time to accessorize. Here's that.
Time to accessorize.
Okay.
It's delivery like that it's like, you know, Pitoff was saying.
Hold on. I'm just trying to finish the script here. What do women actually think to themselves? What do women think? What do they say? What do they think?
I don't think Pitoff knew what he was doing.
No,
honestly.
Really didn't.
Here's another one of those.
What a perfect idea.
Yuck!
Vomitous.
Can you any of you guys purr? Is that something that...
Yeah.
I mean, I can do that.
That's like a Chewbacca. So the answer is no. Okay, that's lots of checking.
It has to be in the middle of a word. Like,
Just say perfect. Say perfect.
Perfect.
So the answer is no. Okay,
it sounds like he's gurgling.
I'm gurgling, Quick, he's choking on a cherry tomato.
Don't choke on a cherry tomato. Those are big. That'll block you up good. Here's the guy. What? I wrote this guy sucks. Oh, he's at the crime scene, and I cannot stand what this guy says, so here you go.
He says she jumps around like a cat. What should we call her? Cat chick. No, cat broad.
Yeah, cat broad. Yeah, that's better.
Exactly. Cat dame. Cat female.
Right. Got it. Oh, I hated
that. If only there was another word for dame.
Cat lady.
So dumb. All right. Some more killer dialogue again. Here you go.
What does all of this have to do with me? I mean,
what happened the other night?
I don't remember.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
You died.
That's so shitty.
What?
It's so shitty.
You died.
How it works for cat women.
Cat women are not contained by the rules of society. You follow your own desires. This is both a blessing and a curse.
Cat women sound like real buttholes.
Yeah. Stepford Catwoman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
She's Frances Conroy's delivery again. You know, it's all the delivery in this movie, but it's just we need you to be more namaste.
Yeah. Could
you,
really and we're gonna play some music on. Behind you. Yeah. To support that.
And they're all people who can do this. It's not like they're not talented people.
No. It's lots of great actors, poorly directed.
Yep.
A lot of great ingredients. Just oh no, it's like they put it in the microwave. Yeah. It just didn't work.
Yeah, like a gremlin. Here's another one.
You are a Catwoman.
All right, there's that. You are a Catwoman. Let's see. Oh, here's that flush the pipes.
I come from a long line of Catwomen. Catwomen prefer tuna. Catwomen prefer
they like sushi.
Chicken of the sea and not chicken. So much the...
I really thought she was eating cat food before I realized it was tuna. I really did. I was a little concerned.
I assumed it was the tuna we get. We get like the Costco... what's this stuff called?
Bumblebee.
Bumblebee. Yeah, right. Bumblebee.
I think we get Kirkland brand. It may be Bumblebee
Kirkland
though.
Kirkland brand.
Oh, do you get processed tuna food?
Yeah.
Do you get the pouch or do you get the can?
I get the can. I don't like the pouch. The pouch is weird.
What's wrong with the pouch?
No, the pouch is weird. You could take a needle and inject something in there. I don't like that.
Oh yeah, because
you could. You could take it. You could put a little heroin needle right in the side of that pouch and go, and then no one would know. He's go home and eat
or
heroin.
You could take a big old crap in it at the tuna canning place and you know.
Well, that's true. You could poo in it. You're not wrong. And I'm sure that I have eaten tuna before that was not 100% tuna. I know that to be sure.
This is like 99% tuna, well, it was, 10% and 1% lipstick.
Yeah. It was chicken, right? Because it's the chicken of the sea.
Yeah, the chicken of the sea.
Thank you, Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, it's a it's a chicken with like gills and stuff. Hey, by the way, I have something to say about Jessica Simpson that I'd like to get out of my system here.
Sure.
It's funny you brought this up. I realized the other day, I've never seen or heard or seen anything ever with her in it, like a film. I know we got Dukes of Hazzard coming up on the list, and so I'll get to see that.
Uh-huh.
But I never saw that. I never saw any of the TV shows she was on MTV or whatever it was. I don't know what she looks like in moving. The only thing I've ever seen before is like stills of her on TMZ or something. Mm. So I don't even know if she's a real person. I assume she is. She exists.
So you never watched The Newlyweds?
Nope.
Okay.
Employee of the Month with Dane Cook?
Nope.
Because that's what I was referring to that Ibbot caught. She this reality show she was in. She asked, "Is this chicken or fish?" I know it says tuna, but it also says chicken by the sea.
Chicken by the sea.
Yeah, I don't know a thing about her other than I am sure she actually exists, but I've never seen her move.
She's all right.
Yeah, never seen her move or talk. I don't know what her voice sounds like. I don't know nothing about her. So.
She's got that style of chin that I just don't like with the cleft.
Oh, you love those, yeah.
Sorry, like listeners, if you got a cleft in your chin.
Whatever.
Ibbot can't even look at you.
Yeah.
I ended up at a Jessica Simpson concert in like 2002 where it was like coworkers had an extra ticket. You should come along. And
I was really drunk.
And she was incredible. Like in 2002, I think, she was the best living singer. Like it was unbelievable.
Yeah. Wait a minute. She sang? That was a thing she did?
Yeah, she was. I think that's how she got her start.
I did not know that. I had no idea.
What? Are you being serious?
I'm being dead serious.
Jessica Simpson is?
I thought she was a reality star because
she was
pretty.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
This is my whole point.
This is my whole point, as I don't know her at all. Like it's one of those cultural things where it just slipped through my cheese grater. I never saw her. Doing anything. I don't know why that's the analogy I just used, but she just never showed up for anything I've ever been.
Now I feel like I'm over-informed on Jessica Simpson.
Because during this time, I was watching MTV. I was watching The Osbournes a lot. Like, I was not, it's not like I was averse to MTV reality shows or something. It just never happened. And I didn't follow her before that. If she sang, that's news to me. No idea.
Oh my.
Does she still sing? Does she sing now?
But the whole thing. Even if you don't pick up with her until she's on Newlyweds, like the whole point is that she and Nick Lachey are singers.
I don't know who that is either.
Oh my God!
I don't.
Lead singer, one of the guys in the boy band 98 Degrees.
Oh, yeah. I don't. But yeah, I don't know.
I love that Scott is so disconnected from that
completely
whole
disconnected
world.
From yeah, Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey. I have zero connection to either.
I kind of envy you, actually.
I do too. But my point was, I think everybody should have the experience where you go to a concert and you don't know anything, like you don't know any of the songs that are gonna be performed.
Covered. Scott's got it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm your guy. You get your tickets, you let me know because I'll go. But so is she still, but she performs now, makes albums and things and stuff like that?
I don't know if she currently is doing anything, but I'm sure she's doing something. That's her background, music.
Okay.
Yeah, anyone with this kind of talent is surely still performing the rest of their lives, right? Like,
right. At least in Vegas or something, right? Come on.
Well, in theory. Yeah. I don't know. Does she have a residency at the freaking Golden Nugget or something? Who knows? Well, there you have it. There's that one. I got a couple more here. Here's this one. Oh, I love this guy. This is the Flush the Pipes guy.
They told me to flush the pipes, so I flushed the pipes.
I like that guy.
Did they say to flush the pipes? I thought they said to open the gate or something. What did they say?
I don't know.
All I know is they
flush the pipes.
Did they say flush the pipes?
Yeah, she said flush the pipes.
Yeah, he's my favorite kind of henchman.
Could he have been at a more convenient location for her to say that? Because he literally looks at the guy, turns around, hits the button.
Yeah, no. Flush the pipes is a very convenient thing to do at the makeup place. This guy was supposed to say what the hell or who the hell, but he finishes short in the worst directed line of the movie. So here you go.
Who the heck?
Who the heck?
Who the heck?
Oh my gosh.
because there's that moment that you between saying "het" and "ul" that you can stop easily.
Like, yeah, because it's like kids around. Wait, "het"?
Who the heck?
It's so dumb. Here's some advice that I gave Brian Ibbett on prom night. You didn't know this, Brian, because I went under a different name, so you didn't know.
I know
me,
yeah, that was good.
This was advice I gave you.
Stop eating Viagra like they're vitamins.
Yeah, don't do that.
Oh yeah,
it's bad.
Stop doing what?
I thought there was like a bottle marked vitamin V.
Vitamin V. And who cares about the warning? Screw the warning about 4 hours. Right.
I don't have any evidence of this because I haven't looked it up, but I heard that Viagra's exclusive license ended recently. Oh,
can you do now the generics or something?
Yeah. I could be wrong about that, but I think it would be kind of fun.
But would you really want a generic boner? I mean, really want that?
That's what I was going to say. Is I think it would be kind of fun to find out that there are not over the counter. There are generic Viagras that are better than others.
Mm. Yeah, there probably are. I mean, that's true of most of the biotech world. They make something better in a generic form. It's cheaper and works as good or better. So yeah, that's good. But hey, if you're out there and you need the Viagra to get old Jimmy up, more power to you.
But don't buy Jimmy the cheapest generic because you don't want half a boner.
No.
No.
They call that a semi.
I thought it was a chub.
A chub.
Chub, I haven't heard that forever either. Oh, wow.
Breaking out all the boning, chub, beaver. It's like...
Yeah, this is great. I'm like in high school.
It's like early 2000s up in here.
Exactly. It's right when this movie came out.
It's like a Porky's reunion episode. All right. What is your... Oh, this is what I asked Dunaway once. I said, what is your favorite brand of adult diapers? And he said...
Depends.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
True, too. It's actually Depend, isn't it? I always get corrected
on
that.
It is Depend. I know Peterson corrected us on that. The it is actually called Depend.
Oh, the TMS curmudgeon, Bob Peterson.
The TMS curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Fact checker, TMS fact checker.
Yeah, that's what we'll call him.
Well, I mean, yes, technically I'm wearing a boxer brief under my pants, but nobody says, nobody stops there. They always put the S on it.
Well, it's a brand.
You do say
though.
Briefs. It's like pants. You know, it's always plural. Right. Yeah. But Depend. Depend is, you know, is what the brand name is.
Yeah, it's a brand, so they can't. So it's technically different. So you could say, "What's your favorite adult diaper?" And you could say, "I really like Depend." See, that sounds wrong.
It does.
This is the most abstract conversation I think we've ever fallen off to.
What's your favorite adult?
How do we go
diaper?
From generic Viagra to?
Hey, listen, Depend. Let me tell you how quickly people go from generic Viagra to Depends. It's usually a couple of years is what I'm saying. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's how fast, about 600 days. All right. Here's I wrote USA up all night sounding music is what I wrote.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
So here's
what
some of that
music.
Yeah. Silk Stockings coming up next.
Yeah, it totally is.
That is so stupid.
This whole is music, the whole thing didn't know where it wanted to be. And it only had every bit of music was only 20 seconds long.
Yeah. It's not a good direction music wise. The whole thing felt real disjointed and strange. And then the actual score stuff like that was just TV special you know, Hunters on the Case kind of music. It's bad.
Hunters on the Case.
Remember Hunter? He had the patches
on his
arms.
I loved Hunter.
Yeah,
Hunter. What are you talking about? Do I remember Hunter?
I liked Hunter a lot, dude. Anyway, maybe I wrote, this is so dumb.
May have lost your woman, but at least you got your man.
You may have lost your woman, but at least you got your man.
Okay, no, that was
same,
pretty good.
It's the same woman.
It's kind of, it was pretty good, right? It's a pretty good line.
No, it's not. It's bad. It's terrible, that line.
Yeah. It's pretty terrible smart. Line. He's,
may
a,
have,
he's a cop. You,
you
know?
May have got your lost your woman, but you at least got... I hate it so bad.
I'm sorry, Scott. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's okay. I'll be all right. I'll make it through.
It's pretty clever.
I wrote... Hate the name of this thing is what I wrote.
Beulene.
Oh, yeah. I still don't know what the name of their medication or their face stuff is.
Beulene, but it was supposed to be Beuline or something.
Beulene.
And never once in the movie did they say it in a way that I went, yep, now I know the word. I still don't know it. What was it? It's probably written somewhere.
Beulene. It's spelled like bow, like the first part of beautiful.
B-A-U.
Yeah, dash line.
L-I-N-E. Right?
Beulene,
which is a knot.
But she says, but Sharon Stone says, Beulene.
Beulene. It's awful.
It is horrible.
Yeah, it never worked well for me. And then finally, a bad scream. All right, there's that. it's now time for this. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the Film Sack checklist. Number one, cat sound one-liners. Check. That was all up in this. There has never been a cop like Benjamin Bratt. Too perfect. Check. And finally, dress like Kill Bill for the last third of the movie. Check. Because she wore that stupid jumpsuit. I shouldn't say Kill Bill. She dressed like the what's her name? Uma Thurman's
what's
character.
What's her name?
I can't think of her name. Who's Uma? What do they call her?
Uma Thurman?
What do they call her?
Uma Thurman in Kill Bill?
The bride. That's what I meant, the bride. Yeah. Star Trek connections. According to Daryl, there's a ton of behind-the-scenes stuff where people, no one knows, and that's it. There's no actors.
Exactly.
There's
which surprises me. It seems like one of these actors had to have done something Star Trek, but apparently not.
Kind of weird. These guys, these actors. Benjamin Bratt wasn't ever in Star Trek?
Yeah. I would even say Halle Berry before her Oscar turn could have easily been in an episode of Enterprise or something, like an ambassador to some planet with some cool freckles on her head, alien head,
some sort of prosthetic on her nose.
Yeah, that jives with me for whatever reason. Let's get to the soundtrack grade to give it a shit. That's it for that, and then go ahead.
Hold on. I thought the soundtrack was okay.
You're crazy.
The soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yes. The score.
This soundtrack. I know.
It was scored by the amazing Klaus Badelt.
Who's that?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. All right.
What does he do? He doesn't do anything. He's a poo-poo.
Yes, he
head.
Does. No. Oh my God. He's responsible for easily top five soundtracks of all time for me, which is Pirates of the Caribbean. He's so good. I thought his work on Catwoman was probably the best thing in the movie.
I don't remember much of it.
Unmemorable.
Right, fine.
I don't remember jack shit about that guy, and I think this
you're like Tom Lone.
Everything about
this one, Randy.
Everything about this, he's lone. Is that why he's all alone?
You have your opinion. I have mine. Hey, Klaus, call me.
Yeah, let's agree to disagree. Okay. Twitter post. Let's do it. This is where you guys sum it up in 150. Damn it. I did it again. 280 characters or less. Let's start with Randy.
Way less. Catwoman. Meow, did this get made?
How come we didn't do that more?
I don't know.
Meow.
Brian did a lot at the top, and we just didn't. Yeah. Going, we need to keep it going.
Yeah,
just forgot to meow.
Yeah, we didn't forget to. We just hate it so much. So you don't want to reinforce bad behavior. I see how it is. Next up, we have the one, the only, the Brian Dunaway.
Catwoman, like a whole bag of sorry and a box full of cupcakes. It just ain't enough to get this tuna flavored film out of my head.
You're not a fan of tuna generally, though? Like, do you want a tuna fish sandwich or Dunaway?
Okay, tuna has its place, but never in the bedroom. Never.
Chopped tuna, I'm not a fan. Like, you know, a big slice of ahi for my sushi, definitely.
Oh, yeah, that sounds all right.
I don't feel like doing anything romantic after I eat tuna.
In its own juices just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, and tuna juice. It's right up there with hot dog water. It's the worst thing.
Exactly, and it gets on you, and it's on your hands, and it's just how did it get on my face? It's just I'm covered in tuna.
Yeah, my daughter's husband Dylan. All you have to say is hot dog water in front of him, and he gags. It's really funny to watch.
Sure.
Let's finish it out with Brian Ibbett.
Catwoman. Sorry, Randy. The corollary is false. Catwoman did not move me.
Okay. That's fair.
We may have moved Catwoman, but she did not move us.
That's fair. We'll try better. We'll try harder next week, guys.
Yeah. What is next week?
No, well, don't tell us yet. I got this to do, damn it.
Sorry.
Jumping the gun there. Alternative titles just handed to me. Halle Barely a Movie. That's pretty good. Or Basic Feline Instinct. Okay, wait, I got one more. One more, because that was a Sharon Stone.
I like that one.
Here's my favorite, The Cats of Life. Because she was on The Facts of Life. Remember?
Right.
I think, wasn't she? Or wasn't she?
Was she?
Halle Berry.
What, you think she was Tootie?
No. What was Halle Berry's TV show she was on? What TV show was this? Hold on. It was not Living Dolls. What am I thinking of? Halle Berry was in something.
She was on a TV show?
Yes. This is gonna drive me. This is gonna drive me crazy.
Like Halle Berry. In the 80s?
Yes, Halle Berry. 80s.
Feels like she would be on like 21 Jump Street. That's about the only thing I can think of.
She was on something called Living Dolls, but I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is here. I thought her.
She was on one episode of A Different World.
No, that's not it. Boomerang, Knott's
Six
Landing.
Six episodes of Knott's Landing.
Living Dolls is her first thing. What am I thinking of then?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's definitely not Facts of Life, so that screws that whole thing up.
Nope.
All right. Why do I think I've got this all backed up? Who am I thinking of from Facts of Life? Anyway, it's not.
You know what happens to an IMDb list when it's struck by lightning?
What?
Same thing that happens to everything else.
Nicely done. I got an email here real quick from somebody who sent an email in to filmsack@gmail.com. That person's name is Steve, and he says, "Hello, Sackers. As for one of your many black fans, the reason why Eminem lasted and others did not was because Dr. Dre had his back. And most of all, he never tried to be someone he was not. Like the Beastie Boys before him, he made his own style and stayed with it. Eminem was a poor white guy, and he helped some of us. Some of us found out that poor people are the same white or black. Plus, he is one of the best. Just my two cents. On another note, episode 333, Escape from New York, I was surprised at the no Skyrim jokes when Snake took an arrow to the knee.
How did we miss that?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't realize it was originally
been in a bad place.
So was the reference in Skyrim from that movie? I didn't know that. Is it possible? Maybe. Or did we just know he got hit in the knee and we just didn't bring it up? Maybe. Maybe that's what it was. Well, either way, thank you, Steve. We love hearing
thanks,
from
Dave.
Black listeners. more of that, please. But no, that's a very interesting take because it's easy for me to know why I don't think I like Eminem, but culturally it's like, you know, it's weird. He fits in a way that others have not been able to do. Like nobody respects Vanilla Ice in that regard.
Right. And he's right. I definitely think it's because he was always honest.
Yeah, I guess
he was always just honest about who he was, where he was from. And that's what rap is supposed to be about, right? Yeah,
maybe that's he had to be, you know? Maybe there was no other way. I'm not saying he contrived it, but, you know, it's a good thing that he was both honest, I guess, in his approach and also had to be to stay relevant. So there you go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thanks for the email. You can send your emails to filmsack@gmail.com. What is our next film, Randy?
Next week, we are going to watch Wes Anderson's fourth movie, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
The only one I've never seen. It's the only one I haven't seen.
Wow.
Of his movies. I've seen them all but that. So,
Interesting.
Yeah. Many multiple times. But
most of them, I don't think of sacking. So, like, it's going to be interesting to see what this becomes for us.
Sure. Of all the Wes Anderson movies, I'm curious what you guys would say to this, but it's the ones I've seen the most are the Royal Tenenbaums and the Fantastic Mr. Fox are like the multiple viewings for me. But I've seen everything at least once. Are you guys right around that? Or have you seen all these?
I don't know if I've seen any of them more than once. Tenenbaums, yeah, I think I've seen more than once. But
yeah, when I was younger, I watched Rushmore several times.
Oh, I forgot about Rushmore. Yeah, a couple times, though.
A couple times for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Rushmore. I've never watched it. Always
Rush Left. Really?
Never.
Oh,
really?
Rushmore. Never have. Rushmore must be seen. You have to see it.
Yeah. Yes.
It's always been on my list.
Yeah. Also, you know what else is great? Moonrise Kingdom. You know what else is great?
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's
everything
good.
He makes. That's what's great.
Yeah. Grand Budapest Hotel is my favorite, I think.
Mm.
But yeah, on the train.
Yeah. Darjeeling Limited is also really good.
Mm. Yeah. I just love that he exists. His new movie he's working on right now is called Isle of Dogs. It's a return to animation since Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
And it looks utterly wonderful and is a similar style to Fantastic Mr. Fox. So I cannot wait for this.
And it's I saw that just a few years ago.
Look at these people in it. Frances McDormand, Greta Gerwig, Scarlett Johansson, Bryan Cranston, Liev Schreiber, Edward Norton, Tilda Swinton, Bill Murray. He's in all of them. Jeff Goldblum, yeah. Harvey Keitel, Fisher Stevens, F. Murray Abraham. I mean, look at this. Ken Watanabe. My gosh.
What's this guy? F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah, F. Murray. I love saying his name. It's so good.
And if you're wondering why are they watching this Life Aquatic thing I've never heard of, it's got Bill Murray, Owen Wilson, Kate Blanchett, Angelica Houston. Like it's another all-star cast. We're gonna have a lot to talk about.
And the Green Goblin.
Mm-hmm.
Willem, mm-hmm. Not William.
Yeah, William Dafoe. Yeah, he's in it. Jeff Goldblum also in this. It looks like.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Bud Cort. Oh, yeah. I've not seen this one. I'm excited to see it. I think a lot of people probably know all about it. I just never got around to it. So let's make it happen, everybody.
Hey, man, we've all got our things.
We do. And this is also a 2004 film. Came out the same year as Catwoman. So back-to-back 2004 movies.
All right.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. And don't forget, filmsack.com is our website. All the things you might need to find and do and stuff are there. Filmsack.com. Filmsack@gmail.com. Once again, is our email address. You can find us on Twitter @Filmsack. And you can leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Meow.
We'll see you next time.
Meow, meow.
Ew. Gross. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.